Well, welcome to another episode of Flip Your Friday. Yeah. I'm your host, Wynn Silberman. This is my co-host, Casey LeBlanc. Casey, we have a great guest today in Gregory Sweets Oliver, premier elite athlete, trainer, and entrepreneur.
Oh, nice.
But right before I start, I just want to give a shout out to the Focusrite Room. We're here.
Yeah,
in
look
Arizona.
Where we are.
This is awesome.
I don't know how much they can get on the camera, but this is fucking unbelievable.
The team here is amazing. This is a very amazing thing. We could go for hours as to what we're behind here, but for now, we just wanted to thank them for giving us a shot to be able to be here and film a couple podcasts, satellite podcasts. Yeah. So I wanted to get that out. But with that being said, Sweets, God, you've lived quite in life dealing with elite athletes. And the very first athlete that comes to mind when I think of who you've worked with that is pretty high profile is Barry Bonds.
Okay. And pretty high profile.
Pretty high profile.
A little bit. Yeah.
And it's a really cool, it's a fascinating story because you were intimately involved with his training. And I was wondering if you just speak a little bit to how that relationship started, your kind of journey with the Giants. I'd like to go into some other things, but it'd be fun to just talk about what was it like training Barry Bonds? How did this happen? And maybe start from there.
Yeah. Where do we start? I guess when I tell a story, I can't tell a story without thanking Brett Fisher. I can't tell a story without thanking Brett. I was doing all of the, Brett had a, Fisher Institute was Fisher Sports at the time, and now it's Fisher Institute.
Which is still where a ton of athletes in Arizona go. If you're an elite athlete, you go there.
Right, so I was doing all the combine work and all this performance work at Fisher Institute for Brett. And then, here's a real story. So I was living in one of my good friend's house in a spare bedroom, and he was out of town, and I was walking around the house, and I was talking to God. And I was like, God, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's next. I don't know what's happening, but I'm ready for the next move. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm ready for whatever's next. And then the next day, Brett called me and he's like, "Sweets, how much do you love me?" I was like, "I love you, Brett."
This is literally the next day.
Literally the next day. How much do you love me? I love you, Brett. Why? He's like, how much do you love me? I go, Brett, I love you. And he's like, "Well, the Giants need a strength coach, and I gave him your name. Put your resume together and shoot down there." So their spring training happens to be in Scottsdale. I live in Scottsdale. We're in Scottsdale now for this satellite thing. So just dope. And so I went down, gave my resume. Stan Conti was nice enough to hire me. And then I go to work there. And then specifically Barry, wanted to me to go kind of one-on-one. Baseball's a little different.
Had you guys ever met before at this point?
Never met Barry. Okay. I've never met him before that. And so baseball's a little different where, especially back then, so we're talking about 04. And 04, God, it's 20 years?
Yeah.
Shut up, bro.
We don't have to talk about that.
Bro. Okay, anyway. So I'm not going to bring up dates anymore. Crazy. So baseball's a little different at the time. Everybody had their own guy. So everybody has a guy and a thing. And
their own guy, I mean, own trainer.
Their own trainer, right? Everybody had their own trainers, and they were allowed to come into the clubhouse. The MLB changed the rules, so there were no more trainers inside of the clubhouse.
And that's due to the steroids controversies, yeah, so the whole, and they're trying to figure out who the hell is juicing who.
Right. The whole Balco thing, it was crazy. They tried. What baseball did was they decided to get everybody out to clean house, and then so they had to hire people who actually worked for the team. So. That's how I came in. So I get in, and I'm doing all the spring training stuff for the rest of the team. And Barry, we go aside and work out in a different gym. I set up a gym in Scottsdale. We went.
So just real quick.
Gotcha.
Why? So what is it? I mean, you're training, and I know baseball players or any athletes, they might go through the team trainer. I know this is a changing culture, but did Barry see something he liked and felt immediately comfortable with you? Or was it like, look, I need to be better than my teammates. I want to do more work. Why? Where was the exchange here that happened?
So Barry's a different cat. Like, he's just different. He's built differently from everybody else. Most of the people for spring training will come to you get to the ballpark around 8,
your
9
team workouts.
Right, team workouts. Barry wanted to work out at 6 a.m. And this was in the beginning of
in addition to
the team workout. So his own workout first and foremost, and then we go back and do the team workout and do everybody else.
Got it.
So he would do extra. He is without a doubt the hardest working athlete I've ever seen, ever.
And I've got, and that's saying something. Yeah,
and I have trained over 250 NFL guys, over 200 MLB guys, and the closest I think Alex Rodriguez is probably the closest. as far as work ethic is concerned, as how hard they work, and the time and what they're willing to put in to be able to get.
Give us some examples on that. That's what people like to know. Is like, what you get these Hall of Fame elite once in a generation athletes. Yeah. We'll jump into that a little bit.
It's not just talent, right? That's what you're kind of saying. Because
there's a mental and a physical to it, but also just the daily grind, the discipline. What are things that you see that or saw that make him so different than everybody else?
I'll give you the day in the life of our offseason, right? So an offseason training program and that we put together would be get up, because he wants to work at 6. So we're up 5. We go to work out at 6. So the first workout, up, eat at 5. Workout starts at 6. So we go from 6 to about 7:30.
Is it chef?
Just lift. The chef makes the food.
Chef makes food. Okay.
So chef makes food. So we're in, at the time, he lived in Beverly Hills. So I would be out in Beverly Hills for the off season. So I come back, I drive back and forth between there and Scottsdale. I come home for the weekend, see my girlfriend, and go back that week, right? So we get up on a, the day is pretty much exactly the same. So get up, eat at 5. Work out at 6, from 6 to about 7:30. Come back home, have a snack in the middle, wait about 30, 45 minutes, go for the next workout at about 11, around about 11 o'clock, from 9 to about 11, 11:30. Finish, come back, have lunch, go back for the next workout at 2, right around 2, and then from 2
when you
to
say the
4.
Next workout, you're talking about with the team or just with Barry?
No, this
at
is
2
just,
o'clock?
This is off-season. Off-season.
So this is just with him.
We're just talking about...
What are you doing? Running and lifting?
Lift, run, baseball, lift. I mean, like, it's just a lot of different things that we do all day. So we didn't pick up a bat like until late. So the first month of the off-season is just lifting and running, right? Just lifting and running and stretching, those things. And we were still working out 4 times a day.
What are you measuring during that time? Huh.
So what do you mean measuring as far as...
So, like, I mean, are you measuring... Because, you know, in football, it's a 40-yard dash. It's how high can you jump? You're long.
Right.
What are certain things with baseball that you're measuring during that time?
Once you get into a career of an athlete, right, there's... you don't need the measurables anymore. So, like, when you start with NFL guys, in the beginning, everybody needs to run a 40. Everybody has to do the long, the standing broad jump. Everybody has to do all the tests of the combine, right? Yep. So, do all those things. But once you're in their career, very rarely are they going to have to run a 40 again. Very rarely. Unless they get, you know, cut somewhere and a team sees them. Right. And it's mostly because either they're now a little past their prime and the team wants to see if they can still run. Maybe something like that will happen. Mm-hmm. But other than that, now we're just into bigger, stronger, faster. Right. You're just trying to make them.
But what specifically? I get that. Yeah. But to measure that you're
increasing in strength. You're increasing. Yeah,
no, right. How specifically? Like, what does bigger mean? Like, are you looking at your body fat in comparison to your weight? Are you looking at your strength in certain lifts? It's like how are you? You can't just say bigger, stronger, faster, right? Like, there's got to be something.
Well, bigger's not really a thing,
right?
So it's not really a thing that we care about measuring, right? So I don't, unless you're talking about aesthetics, they want to look the part.
And but bigger could be weight, right?
Or well, your man, depending on what we're trying to do. So if I have a defensive tackle who needs to be at 300 rather than 270, then bigger is a real factor.
Well, right? With Barry Bonds specifically,
right? With Barry, there's not a once you get into elite athletes that are already performing at a high level, we're just trying to be the best athlete they can possibly be at that point.
Okay.
So I'm in the pitching. I pitch. You know what I mean? Like, I got balls and I'm throwing hitting drills. I learned more hitting drills than I've ever, you know, that
one
most
and
of
two.
The thing. Yeah, right? I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm throwing tennis balls at Barry from, you know, 35, 40 feet as hard as I can throw them. And he's like, throw strikes. I'm like, I'm trying. I don't know how to pitch, bro. I'm trying to throw strikes. So there's like a lot of different things that are baseball related, and those things are a little different. Working on balance. There's not a way to really measure how much better you get outside of the performance, right?
Now, when you started training him, this is right after the Balco thing, and Barry Bonds is at the center of it.
Right.
So everybody's talking about steroids.
Right.
Is there any conversation that you guys have or that the team has with you? Anything behind doors or how did that work? Because everybody's, it's known,
if
right?
If the team's watching you and Barry go somewhere and there's
also
controversy.
Because you're at the center of it because you're working out
with them. Did they approach you at all?
Or? Right. So the team tells me that, hey, we want to know everything that he's doing.
You're a spy.
So now, right, I know everything he's doing. And so I just flat out, I told Barry, when they told me that, I just went to Barry. I was like, hey, the team told me that they want to hear everything.
Because your sense of loyalty will always be to the athlete.
Right, always, always, always. And so, but I also don't want to lose my job at the same time. So what I did was I told Barry what happened, and then I just wrote two programs. I wrote what I was doing with Barry, and I wrote what I gave the team.
Because at the time, you're the head strength coach
right.
for the San Francisco Giants.
Yes.
And then you are the personal strength coach for Barry, the for best, Barry. One of the best baseball players to ever play.
Arguably yeah. in the history
arguably
of the game.
Arguably the best hitter to ever swing a bat.
I think he's the best. That's just me.
I agree.
I don't disagree.
He
wouldn't be able to strike. You couldn't strike him out.
Listen, his hands. So moving your hands through the zone is what they call it, right? He moves his hands faster through the zone than anybody I've ever seen.
So yeah. we were talking offline at lunch today, and it's fascinating that you have this kind of this intimate relationship with someone who not only is the best hitter of all time or one of the best baseball players of all time, but went through a pivotal moment mm-hmm. in one of the biggest sports of all time, and you were at the center of it.
Yeah.
Did you have a kind of an understanding as to what was going on prior to getting there, and did you see the transformation in his body? Because if you were his strength coach and the Giants strength coach, you're walking into this new opportunity. What do you know or not know or have to figure out in a short amount of time?
Is there a change in performance? Like, did you see anything different? Yeah.
So I've been in the business a really long time. And so I knew what was going on with the Balco thing and all the stuff that I'd heard and a lot of things. And so, I'm just watching what athletes do and how athletes
Well, and all the baseball players, they got tested one time anyways, right?
No, everybody gets tested. Yeah. Barry got tested ridiculously. I mean, ridiculously.
Give me an example, Barry.
At a low, and I'm talking like 12 times a month, basically.
12 times a month?
A month. I'm talking about like, he got tested
all the time.
And that,
the rule is, at any time, you get a call and you
anytime,
have to piss.
Anytime. Just, athlete, the deal. Like, you can get somebody calls you, and if you miss,
It's a
positive test. If you miss, it's a positive test. And he never tested positive, not once. So those things you have to take into account. I know what the body looks like, and I know how the body moves. And Barry was and is a great dude, first of all. But when I first came in 2004 to our finishing in 2008, because he couldn't get a job, he got blackballed in baseball, there was no significant drop-off in strength whatsoever. So that means if you are in, if you have been doing some sort of performance enhancements, right? So whatever it is, in this business, you can
keep... We'll talk about it. About for a lot of the audience, I'd assume, doesn't right. understand what cycling means, for example. So explain what you mean from what a drop-off is. And what if an athlete is doing steroids, explain a cycle and a drop-off, because that will elucidate what we're talking
about. Gotcha. Okay, so if you're going to take some sort of steroids to enhance your strength or your speed or whatever there is a certain amount of time that you can stay on it, and then you have to cycle off to be able to restart again at a certain point. So you cycle off because the gains maximize, and your body can only accept so much testosterone and so much whatever the things you're choosing to put
in. Typically, it's 6 months, and then...
Depending on who you're doing with cycles. They cycle, sometimes it's only 6 weeks, sometimes it's 8 weeks, sometimes they do a thing, and then they cycle off for 2 weeks and start again.
Right? Oh, got it, okay.
In the professional sporting world, you really can't do that, because if you do, you'll get caught somewhere. Like, it's really difficult.
You're gonna get caught.
Really so you think, this? I don't wanna go off topic too much, because it's such an interesting part of the story, but in all of sports, because you're training, you think that steroid use is less than 1% or 2% or what?
Oh man, I don't have a gauge, really. I know my athletes are all clean, because I know that it's what I preach, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't make sense. You know, you're gonna risk your whole career, and it's baseball is a big deal. Football, you get a slap on the wrist, it's not a big deal. You know, mm-hmm. you get caught somewhere, but if you get caught before you get into the league, you're screwed.
Yeah,
you remember what was
Merriman.
Merriman, right? Merriman, yeah, right.
You know San Diego.
San Diego.
No, San Diego.
You had me.
He was a dog. I mean, he was a dog before and after. But he got popped. Nobody cared, right? Nobody cared.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. Games.
Yeah, a couple games.
You can't play for a couple games. Shame on you.
That's it, right? And then and you come back at it. It's meticulous, and the scientists get really good. They've done a lot. It's a big business, and they make a lot of things. But my whole point to saying that was, I got Barry in 04 and in 08 doing these cycle things. If you cycle off at some point, or you stop using them, because all right, cool, I used them. Like Merriman got caught, he never used them again, right? Never. So he got popped, so he doesn't. there wasn't a huge drop off from his thing, except for his play went down a little bit. He didn't make as many, you know, all-stars. Right. Yeah. Barry, his strength never dropped. So we go from 04 to 08, and you have the exact same strength. That means you either are still on whatever you're on through all the team. When I know he's not, he's being tested so much. He's being tested so much, he can't be on it. There should have been some sort of drop off. At some point, he should have gotten weaker. When you do those things, if you do them correctly, you could probably keep about 80% of your gains, right? About 80% of your gains. Meaning, if you could bench press 100 pounds and then you do steroids and now you bench press 200 pounds, you gained, you know, 100 pounds, right? Yeah. So you get 100 pounds. So you do that for a while, great. But once you get off of it, you don't have that same strength. So now, if you train correctly, you might still be able to bench press 180 pounds, but not the 200 anymore, mm-hmm. because you don't have that extra oomph any longer.
Right.
That's okay. What it is. That's what the cycling and things that happen. So if there's no drop off from the space, then that means there was no help in the beginning. Like, there was no help in the beginning. So that's
who else is part of his team? So he's a chef. He has you. What other
Harvey? Harvey, he's a manual manipulation guy. God, Harvey Shields. Harvey's my dude. Love Harvey. I don't do the massage, the thing, and that's his. Harvey was integral in keeping Barry's body,
twitchy.
Not just twitchy. No, just.
Is it possible that he didn't do steroids?
Yeah, it's super possible. I know for a fact from the time that from 04 to 08, there's nothing. I'm there the whole time. And not just here. So when Barry decided to make the push to break the record, he was right at the end of it. I left the Giants. He asked me to come on to stay with him personally. So I left the Giants, left the team, and it was just me and him at that time. So I know for sure.
You guys are in rooms like this, maybe not soundproof like this, but you guys are in rooms by yourself. Was there ever a conversation about steroids?
What, he and I?
Yeah.
No, not really. I didn't have to have it. I mean, I have friends that I know really well and people I know really well. I have known Wynn for quite some time. I know you, right, in case. I don't have to have a conversation if Wynn is heterosexual or not.
Yes, you do.
What was I going to say on camera?
Pansexual.
You know, some things I know.
You know how you clip up little parts of a podcast and take things out of context? That's going to be one of them.
Pansexual.
I am pansexual. So we can do that for me now, too. We have editing capabilities here.
Love it. Yeah, so no, there was never a conversation. I didn't have to have one. I really didn't.
Didn't know if maybe he had said something. Maybe he addressed or talks about it. You guys have a
Or was he struggling with it? Was he pissed off?
Yeah.
No, there's like, listen, people are going to say what they say, and everybody's going to have their own opinion. You know, I was on the ground. My boots were on the ground. You know what I mean? So for me, I know what I know. So for me, it's easy. You know, that's not a question.
Well, since we're on the topic, I mean, so thank you for sharing kind of a snapshot of an experience of training an elite athlete. And you're sharing about somebody that had the desire to be the best.
Yeah.
Now, I want to transition to a World Series MVP.
One story.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the very first week I'm training Barry. The very first week. And the desire to be the best is what made me when you laugh about it. So we're on a Bosu ball, right? Unless you know, not Bosu ball. I mean a physio ball, big physio ball.
Is that like a medicine ball?
No, a big physio ball. The ones you inflate.
Okay. Right?
So it's a physio ball. And we're doing an ab move, and I have him planked, and his arms are on the physio ball. Legs are out, back, and he's planked like I'm on a push-up position, but on his elbows. And he's on the ball.
It's not easy.
Right? It's not hard, but it ain't easy. Gotcha. So anyway, so I'm like, hey, B, I need you to move your elbows a little further forward, right? And he said, doesn't that make it harder? And I said, yeah, don't you want to be great? I said, don't you want to get better? He goes, I'm already great. All I can say, I felt like, all I can say was, because he was right. At the time, he had like 5 MVPs already. Right? And I was like, don't you want to be great, great? It's hilarious.
Can you expand on that? Because this is one of the themes of the podcast that I'm so fascinated by is people that have either done certain things or been around certain mentalities. What are some of those characteristics? What was shocking to you? What was surprising to you? As you could get into the mind of somebody in such an intimate level, what do you think that you could share with people that maybe we wouldn't know?
I would say Barry, in particular, thinks differently than most people do, right? There is no, all right, so funny story. So he and his, one of his best friends, Danny, is trying to get, there's a place called Asia SF in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's a bar that has
lots of different things.
Right. It's got
drag.
Female, yeah, drag. It's a drag bar, right? It's a female impersonator bar, right? So they're trying to get Barry to go because they think it's funny, right? So the thing is going to go, oh, let's get Barry to go to this place, right? And they're walking out front of the thing and they get him to go in. It's a group of guys and they're walking in. And Barry stops and goes, I ain't going in there. I'm like, what? He's like, it's a gay bar. I'm not going in. I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? It's like, we have lots of, to the bar, there's girls, they're singing, they have female impersonators all singing. He's like, no, it's a thing. He's like, no, it's not. He's like, why? He's like, it's a gay bar. He's like, what do you mean? Why do you think that? He goes, it's a gas station across the street. He goes, what? He goes, they don't put real bars against across the street from gas stations.
Wow. The thought process is crazy.
He just thinks crazy.
The fact that that's your story. The elite athlete, then that's your story. Yeah.
And that's how you become a Hall of Famer.
All right, so we're going to really transition now.
Transition.
Because we talk about Barry Bonds, Hall of Famer, and then you had another
A World Series MVP, arguably.
Yeah. Let's go.
But let's talk about a difference in mentality.
Can we jump in to the weight?
Oh God.
Can you talk about the experience?
You got a call, right? I was working with Pablo at the time, and
Pablo Sandoval with the San Francisco Giants again.
Giants.
What year is it?
This is 2010.
2010.
And
don't we're doing years anymore, guys.
Yeah.
Context.
It's actually 2009. But we're going.
It was his first opportunity for real money. Right. So it's an arbitration year. We're looking at maybe 17 to 20 million bucks, which is a big deal. It's your first money as a major leaguer. And there was a general consensus the Giants wanted to pay him, but he had to make weight in order to get this money. And the weight was, what was it?
240.
240 was the rule. If he walked into spring training at 240, then he got his money. Well, you know, Panda was Panda, and 240, maybe not that easy. I mean, he can now, arguably, he could do a backflip at 270 pounds. This guy was an athlete.
Very athletic.
But 240, I call Sweets, go, Sweets, we need 240 for this money.
Yeah.
And Pablo met him, and they connected, and go from there.
Wow. Ooh, oh, I see what you mean by thought process. Okay, difference between Barry and Pablo is both played for the Giants. So we say that. Pablo, God, I love Pablo. He was fun loving, great. The seriousness with which he took his craft isn't like the seriousness that which like Alex or Barry take their craft. It's just different. Pablo was gifted. Pablo is ridiculously gifted, and sometimes athletes that are gifted rely on their gifts.
Yeah.
That's all they got. It's easy for them. It's easy. It comes easy. Hit the ball, easy. Well, catch, flip it. It's easy. So some athletes, because it's so easy for them, can just show up and play. And they'll be good. They'll be an all-star. They can be a World Series MVP, because that's what he can do. He can just show up and play. That's how good Pablo is. But if Pablo had Barry's work ethic, and the way he approached the game, he'd have been incredible.
He'd have been the best there ever was.
He'd have been incredible. He'd have been the best third. The best third baseman that the Giants ever had, for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
big difference.
Well, but the mentality—he had no mentality.
Right. He just didn't.
There's a lot of athletes like that, though, right?
Absolutely.
You're surprised. I think people would be surprised, like, because athletic ability can get you pretty far in life, but it can't get you to the next level,
right?
If you don't have that discipline.
It can get you to level. Listen, it can get you there. I got Pablo there, right? Athletically, he made it.
And by the way, he made a lot of money.
I never forget, he's like, Poppy, listen, Pablo, if you just dial in, you'll make $200 million. I don't want $200 million, Poppy.
I only want $100 million,
Poppy, that's it.
And literally, that's what he got.
It is. I'm like, what? You'll play forever. So
that's funny.
Wynn calls me to go do the thing, right? Get ready to have him lose his weight. It's the offseason.
Wait, what did he come in at?
280.
So 240 is the number, and came in at 280.
How long to get him to 240? We have.
So, no, this is the beginning of the offseason. So we have three months. We're in the beginning of November when we start, right? November. So I have November all the way to February 14th. So I got all November, all December.
So I talked to Sweets. He's like, we're golden. Yeah. No problem.
3.5 months? Breeze. So we start training in November. The weight's coming off. It's easy, cool. He's at, he came in at like really around 280, 281 or something like that. And then the weight comes down. It's great. We're moving slowly and it's easy, right? Great. Working hard. Works his butt off when he works. And it's just a slow process. We get to, right before Christmas, Pablo goes home.
To Venezuela.
To Venezuela. And he does the most impressive thing I've ever seen an athlete do, ever. He went home, and in 4 days, he gained 35 pounds.
That's impressive.
Almost impossible.
It's almost impossible.
You have to try.
35 pounds. And so now, he's teetering at 300, and it's January. And now we only have we have 6 weeks literally to get him to lose 60 pounds now. We're gonna lose 60 pounds in 6 weeks. I can't get you to understand how hard it is to lose 10 pounds a week. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. Yeah. It's not something you're supposed to do. You know, it's not a thing. We had to, it was difficult, but we made it. You know, we made it. And then he went on to have a great season and then win the World Series MVP. And we won a World Series. It was dope. He balled out. It was fantastic. It was just.
But we had a lot of fiber shakes. I mean, what? So he came in and you had to drop weight. I had to hide. The Giants were calling because they wanted to. They knew he was in town. They wanted to see him.
They wanted to see him.
Because they were ready to not pay.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, I can't find him. Oh, he's with his mom. I don't want to bother him.
Yeah.
Any excuse in the book that I could find, I was giving it. At a certain point, I remember I called you and said, I don't have any more excuses.
Right.
How much longer do we have? Yeah. And it was a couple of days, and you got him there. But a lot of fiber shakes.
Yeah.
What are some other things that are the healthy ways in which you did it? Because I think a lot of people that are listening are not going to be professional athletes. What are some things to cut in a short amount of time where you could still maintain some level of health?
Okay. So my theory on discipline in all things in life, right? Everything. It starts with this. You can control the hole in your face. You can control pretty much anything, right? You gotta control the hole in your face. And that was the Pablo's biggest problem is he couldn't control the hole in his face. So we had to basically hold him down and not let him eat, you know? And then we worked our ass off. I mean, tons and tons of work. And then we gave him just things that were just shake-wise so that he could just get rid of it all. Now you can do it. Like I said, I don't advise you not to eat. I don't say don't eat. That's not a thing.
But you are. There's a lot of science behind eating less than you're burning, right? Like just very the disciplined, simple approach is actually. Well, I'm asking.
Yeah,
I mean,
so it's like I was saying, we were talking in the car. I'm like, look, it's not rocket science. I train basically athletes and girls, right? And then high-profile men who are like business owners and things of that nature. Those guys. But mostly athletes and girls, right?
Yeah.
So, right? And if you get your hair cut, nobody asks you, man, how'd you do that? I'm like, what do you mean? Scissors or clippers or something, that's how I got it done. It's really less food in and more activity, you'll lose weight. It is literally the easiest. Shaping the body is like the easiest thing in the world for me. That part's easy. Getting somebody to run, you know, from 4.6 to 4.4, that part's a little difficult.
Well, I've seen you do that.
Yeah.
I've seen you that time and time again.
Yes.
But that has to do with another technique.
Talk about why. I don't want to gloss over this because I was fascinated by it as we were talking earlier. It is elite athletes and women and then executives.
Right.
We're missing 50% of the population
more
there,
than
right?
That.
50.
Yeah, yeah.
Men.
It's men. Yeah,
and you were explaining, explaining
most
why.
Men, like, most men, men, okay, it's the reason why men don't like to listen to men. Like, literally, they just don't. Like, it's not a thing. I play football in high school. I know what I'm doing. I know how to lift, right? I'm doing this. And this.
For those of you not watching on video, Wynn was giving me
maybe I was just explaining how I got an impinged nerve. working out wrong.
No, because you were working out like a guy who used to play high school football.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty much. And, look, and I don't knock them. Look, do your own thing. I don't knock people who, because you got the knowledge, you've worked out, work out on your own, it's not a big deal.
I don't know a guy. I don't know any of my friends. Yeah. I don't know any guy that has a personal trainer.
Right. Most of them don't.
I really
don't. Most of them don't. Until they get to a point where they realize, most of them right around 40 or so, they go,
I hurt.
I'm hurting right now.
My neck hurts.
Right, and I make enough money, I can pay somebody to not, so I feel better and I can look the way I want to look.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens. And most women are used to, like, they're fine. They can go in and they don't have the ego that men have when it comes to things. It's like social media. Why are all of the social media women, why is it made for women? Why do people, how many guys do you follow on social media? You only follow guys you know, or right. something you can get some business things from, right. or whatever. Right. And girls will follow, oh my gosh, she's cute, I'll follow her too.
Yeah.
And guys will follow all the cute girls too. Right. That's pretty much it, you know? So I think that's kind of the thing behind it. I think, like I said, it's really easy for me to help somebody sculpt their body. Like if you're just trying to change your body, if you're trying to change the way you eat, kind of a mindset. I do a lot of, you know, a lot of mindset coaching, just because a lot of people who, they have a problem either controlling their hole in their face or not knowing exactly what they should be doing to be able to get the goals that they're trying to.
Can you expand on that a little bit? What is the mindset that, what are some of the questions you're asking, or some of the advice, or some of the, maybe the key points to get somebody to understand that a lot of it can be mental and a lot of things that they're doing, but specifically with diet?
It's all mental. It really is all mental. It's where you start. It's what the goal you have. What athletes have over regular people walking the planet is the discipline part. They know that if I eat this piece of cake,
I'm gonna have to run
for this, whatever. They either buy it in or not. They know, if I don't get this workout in, I'm not gonna get better. If I don't get better, I don't make the team. I don't make a team, I don't get paid.
If
I don't get paid, I don't eat. It's a difference. There's a difference, right?
So how do you transition to, I've used that word a couple of times, but I mean, how do you get regular people to see some of that same pattern?
Well, it's how bad do you want the goal that you're looking for?
Okay.
And I fire a lot of clients. I don't take everybody. So when I sit down, especially one-on-one stuff, I sit down and really decide, I mean, how bad do you really want this? Plus, I'm not cheap, right? So if you're gonna do this, it's gonna be an investment. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna make this investment, let's sit down and talk about what your real goals are, how attainable they actually are, and then, you know, where do we go from there? And how badly do you want to reach them? Because we can do 60 pounds in six weeks, right? Or we can do it healthily and, you know, take 60 pounds out over the course of the year, and then something you can, it's sustainable that you can keep it off, you know?
So, quick question, and thank you for all this, is awesome. You've been doing this a long time.
Right.
I know that you train Shaquille O'Neal's kids right now. Yeah. I want to talk about this era of athlete. Do you sense any sort of different attitude? Do you have to approach the younger kids, like Shaq's kids that you train, differently than you had to approach an athlete 20, or even like with Kyle Williams or Polaris, or all these elite guys that I've seen you train and get to very high levels? Do you have to treat them differently?
Yes. Yes. The game is
What's
different.
That about and why? And give me maybe an example. Okay. What's going on?
I sound like the old man on the porch, but I'm like, the new kids.
There's two old men on the porch.
Right, I know, yeah. Right? I'm like, I call them soft, right? People laugh at me. I'm like, it's not soft in the sense of soft like a pillow. It's... I grew up in a time, Eric Bieniemy is getting a bunch of shit right now because
he's too hard on guys,
yeah. Right? And I get it. When I put the girl group together, I used to do nothing but athletes, right? I had the girl I was dating was like, you can't yell at us, we're girls. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm yelling at you, and I realized I'm a yeller, right? At this time, I'm a yeller. So I transitioned from yelling now to I have to find a way. Now with the new athlete, it's not that they're soft. They have found a way to internalize the words that are being said to them. And they don't get the confrontation, right? There are some of them that are just dogs. You know, I look for the dogs. I got a kid I have right now, Tyler Potts. Dog. He's a dog. He came out of Ball State. And I look for those kids because you don't see them very often. Mm. And those are the kids that are going to excel at the next level really easily because...
Or really anything that they do.
Right. They've been forged in a go-gi. They've been forged in a Spartan fire, like those type of guys. And then there are people who have that ability and they have it in them. You just have to work around the trappings that we have now about wordplay and how you have to do things, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't yell at them because they'll shut down. I have two kids right now, they're brothers. One is you can yell at, and the other one you have to, right? You have to, because he'll shut down in a hot second. He'll shut down. So you just have to figure out a way to talk to him. And I don't mind throw up, and I don't mind tears, right? So it's not a big deal. Who are you laying down on? So now I'm like, okay. Okay, now we get up, we got another one. That's it. You know, that rather than Ricky Williams. I never forget, we were at, this is kind of when I tried to change my coaching style a little bit. We were at ASU's track. And they were, the volleyball girls were doing their test, they test, and they had a girl, she's probably 6'8", and she's running around track. She's not running, she's walking. And the coaches are next to her going, come on, girl, you can do it, you can do it. And she's literally walking. They're walking next to her, and she's supposed to be running this mile, right? Mm-hmm. And she's just, and she's crying as she's running. And Ricky looks at me, he's like, see, look at that. If I was me, you'd be calling me a motherfucker. Yeah, that's me. I would be all over you right now. I'd be all over you. But I, there are ways, you just have to know. Some athletes can handle that fire, and some of them can't. You know,
Do you go up to the point of almost breaking them? Because it is hard, because you also have someone inherently in who you are as a coach and as a teacher that you have certain standards that you expect from yourself. Right. And so, yes, you want to adhere to some of the personalities and mentalities of the younger generation, but also there's this maybe this inner conflict.
Well, I find a way to push the buttons. Yeah. Like everybody's got buttons. You just got to find out where to push, you know, especially when it comes to men, right? Men. Girls are really easy. They come in, they want one goal. I want my butt to be bigger. Cool, I got you. Just lift me. Don't do this, do that.
Do some squats.
Right? Yeah, you see that, right? You know, squats actually don't build the butt.
So I'm not the trainer. Right? Yeah, right?
Also not the other butt, clearly. Yeah, yeah.
Lunge. Okay.
Yeah, lunge.
You find the way to push the buttons.
Well, you were saying men were different.
Yeah, men are different than women. Like, literally, I know it's controversial to say.
Perfect, we love that here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, they just are. The vast majority of men who come to train with me who are not athletes, right, don't come in and go, hey, bro, I'd like to get my butt a little bigger. Yeah. Can do that, right? Yeah. Or I don't have girls that come in and go, I just like bigger traps. Can you get my traps bigger? Yeah. It just doesn't happen. Like, so. I mean, when...
what do they typically say? What's a guy typically say? You just already said what it is.
Same things. Guys come in, I want to be a little bit bigger here. My waist will be a little smaller, bigger back, something like that. Maybe I get some legs. I got tiny legs. Girls talk about my calves all the time. I go, yeah, right, you don't have calves.
You missed leg day. They start crying and go home right there. Hey, bro, you don't have calves. I can see that too.
Yeah, and girls are either weight lost or a bigger butt. That's pretty much it. You know, the same deal. But they don't want...
That's a good one. Just to wrap things up, I think maybe talk a little bit about what you're doing now. I hear that you've opened another gym. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Talk a little about, you know, where you're at today and what you're up to, and then we'll probably call it a day. But I would like to hear about that.
Thanks, bro. Thanks. I have two gyms now. One in Scottsdale, Levels Fitness and Nutrition. This one, the originals in Scottsdale. And then I have one in Ahwatukee, Phoenix, Arizona, basically. This is actually the logo. Check it out. Bam. I have a partner, PK, in Phoenix. So he's a great baseball guy. He does all of our hitting and stuff for the guys that we have down there. We have a batting cage and things. The one in Phoenix is 10,000 square feet, so it's a nice facility. It's really pretty. And then the one in Scottsdale is around 4,000 square feet. Yeah. It's nice.
And you're doing baseball, football.
Baseball, football, basketball. Well,
you're training guys right now for their pro day for the NFL, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have two guys that we checked on.
That
had some good numbers.
Yeah. Tyler did a great job. Become red. Potts. He ran 4.33 at his pro day. Went from 4.63 when I got him and ran 4.33 in his pro day.
That is blazing.
Awesome.
That's world-class speed.
He's a cornerback out of Ball State. He's going to be really good. He also jumped, 10.3. I mean, we gained 15 inches in his jump and then another 6 inches in his vert.
That's awesome.
Like, and then speed came down. So it's like a lot of things that we do that are, proprietary to what
I love about what you do, to be honest, is look, I've known you for I don't know how many years, but I'm always operating from from the elite athlete side because I have implicit trust in you, and I've seen what you do. But what I love about you is that, sure, you handle the pros, you handle the combine prep, you handle very elite athletes. But at the same time, if someone walks in the door and they want to get better, you're gonna be open, the door's open, and they're going to be able to see, rub shoulders with maybe some of the elite athletes, but at the same time have their own goals.
Yeah.
And I love that about your culture, and I wish you all the luck with that.
Thanks,
I really think it's a good way of doing things.
Thank you.
Real quick, I do want to give you the platform real quick to talk about the additional business that you're starting. Mm. There's two brick and mortar. You're dealing with athletes and then also pedestrians like us. But I love this idea of this online platform and getting groups together to do a physical activity. I don't want to steal your thunder here, but I was moved by it, and from the standpoint of I love startup, I love business, and then taking the athletic ability, or excuse me, the athletic adventure, and then forming groups and then having an online platform that focuses on mental.
Yeah.
So can you talk on that?
Yeah, so the online platform I'm putting together is one for men and one for women, because once again, we're talking about two different things. But really, for men, basically 30 and up, you know, it is, I think that the space that we're in now doesn't really take into account of men have feelings, and it's hard for us to really get those things out in places because traditional therapy doesn't really work for a lot of men. Mm-hmm. And what does help bond men is activity, physical activity. So if you go somewhere and you take, you know, we go hike. So I get a group of 10 guys together and we go out on a retreat for a week. We go hike Machu Picchu. On that hike, it's hard. Guys, first of all, you grab him, you'll catch him because he's slipped. And now you've created a bond with these guys. They can go somewhere and they can sit down, let their walls down, and have somebody to actually talk to, you know? You bring a therapist in, and we make a whole retreat out of it, and then that place, they'll be able to share kind of ideas and spaces of feelings that they wouldn't normally be able to share with anybody else. The only way we actually, you know, the guys, the people you're closest to almost all your life, you play ball with, or you've done some things with, or you've been in some sort of precarious situation that has tested some sort of thing that created a bond.
Yeah.
And if you can do that somewhere and create bonds with people, we can set little groups that'll help change the world.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Well, listen, that'll wrap it up for another episode of Flip Your Friday. Kay Sweets, I want you to know, we are on every platform. We have YouTube. We have, I don't know, we have a bunch of stuff. We have a tech guy that handles that stuff. But
Dope. We
are, download us, like us. If you guys, we love the comments coming in. There's more and more. And we're happy to engage. If there's questions that you want to ask, we're happy to address them the next episode. And that's a wrap. Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
Social media?
We'll tag you too.
Yeah,
it'll all be in there.
Yeah. My Instagram is Sweets. Sweets 1914 and Levels_Fitness Nutrition.
Levels_Fitness Nutrition. We'll make
and,
sure.
And honestly, like if you have never been or have never tried training like a professional athlete, people should do it and should try.
It.
Go
Just
visit
try
one
it.
Of these gyms
on.
Or one of these places, whether it's in Arizona or other places, if you're listening somewhere else, to get a feel for it. And these facilities have so many different ways in which they think that are so far advanced than going to your local gym and finding a personal trainer there. That's what a lot of people I see doing. Yeah. And I think when you get some of these specialty areas that are really focused on the body, the mind, holistically versus just, you know, one squat, you know, to fix your ass.
Yeah, right. Hopefully by
that was awesome. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
All right. See you later.